Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and did not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. So today, dear friends, we come to the final of the three parables. By the way, how many of you did read all of 25 of Matthew? A few more, but it could have been better. Three parables. The first about the importance of being prepared, because the Master will come on a day at an hour when we do not expect and do not know. And every day, my dear friends, we hear of new deaths. This past week, we buried one of our parishioners, Julius Jean-Jacques. And we were told of the passing of Alex Philip, the daughter-in-law of Mornlight Philip, my very dear friend. And then, of course, Jacinta David, our cultural officer who danced her way into our lives and our hearts, dressed proudly in her national wear. And only last night, I received the news of the death of Marie. Marie was the widow of my first cousin, Odu, from Scotshead. Odu predeceased her some years ago. A sobering reminder that our day will come, so be prepared. Then, with the parable of the talents of last Sunday, we have first the imperative of developing the talents that we have been bestowed with. We owe it to ourselves, We owe it to each other, our society, and we owe it to our God. Why? Because in the end, there will be a reckoning. Each of us will have to give an account of our stewardship. And that brings us to today's parable of the Last Judgment, in which we are told of the Shepherd King who sits on his glorious throne passing judgment on the people. He begins by separating them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then he offers them the criteria for either being accepted into the kingdom or being rejected. And the criteria speak of very mundane, everyday activities within the reach of everyone here. Today, dear friends, my sharing will revolve around 1, the Shepherd King; 2, the Shepherd King who is also judge; and 3, the kingdom of the Shepherd King. The psalm prescribed for today in response to the first reading from Ezekiel is the 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Wasn't it beautiful the way our sister sang that refrain and the whole psalm? Have you ever noticed, dear friends, how many musical settings there are for this psalm? As I speak, I am sure that you can think of 2 or 3 of your favorites. The traditional one, for example. "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." Or the one that goes, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He maketh me to lie." If I should ever walk in the valley of darkness, you are there, my shepherd is the Lord, nothing indeed shall I want. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death to life. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green, green pastures. And the one that I have come to enjoy very much is, "Bon Dieu Seigneur, c'est lui qui berge moi. Bon Dieu Seigneur, c'est lui qui sauve moi. Il mène moi là qui ne wavin foué. C'est savant la belle en place, la bon Dieu mettez moi posé. C'est savant la belle en place, la bon Dieu mettez moi posé. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." Psalm 23, one of my favorites, and I recognize also one of yours as well. It speaks of the care that my God has for me, caring for my every need, even in the presence of my enemies. The concern he shows towards me, ensuring my safety. The consolation and comfort that he offers me, that he is with me even in the darkest and most dangerous moments of my life. His commitment to me is unwavering. And all these sentiments, my dear friends, are expressed in the first reading of today from Ezekiel. "I am going to look after my flock myself, and I will keep them in view. I shall keep my sheep in view. I shall rescue them from wherever they have been scattered during the mist and the darkness. I myself will pasture my sheep. It is the Lord who speaks. I shall look for the lost one. bring back the stray, bandage the wounded and the wicked too, and make the weak strong. I shall watch over the fat and the healthy. I shall be a true shepherd to them. I think, my dear friends, during these times of recovery after the hurricane, more and more we need to hear these things to remind us that all is not lost, that our God is still our shepherd, and he's there to look after us and to care for every need. Sometimes it might seem that he's slow to act, but not to worry. As we always say, he may not come when we want him to come, but he's always right on time. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. But the end of that reading, my dear friends, comes the judgment. He says, I will strengthen the weak, but the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. As for you, my flock, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and he-goats. Ini mouton, ever ini mouton. As we say sometimes, ini papa, ever ini papa. And he says today, I will look at my sheep well, and there will be a selection among them. I will observe who are the ones who are truly faithful, and they will be called in. And those who are unfaithful will be left out. That's the judgment, my dear friends, which brings me to the second point, the judge. The shepherd king is also a judge. We do not often think of God as judge. What we say is, God is good. Bon Dieu bon. And he is. He is kind and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And as true as that is, my dear friends, he is also judge. And in his kingdom, the one he establishes, justice will be one of the pillars. Justice. So throughout the scriptures, that theme of justice is prominent. Amos 5 and 34. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let justice roll down like waters. That's what God wants, a kingdom of justice. Romans 12 and 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So yes, there is that aspect of God as well. Vengeance. Isaiah 1 and 17. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bringing justice to the fatherless, and plead for the widow's cause. So we're invited to do the same, that we recognize that everyone is God's child, and therefore deserving of justice, including the widow and those on the streets. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to be just in all that you do. And Isaiah 6 and verses 1 to 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. And I will deal with them when the time comes. All that is justice, you know. We don't like to think of God like that, but he says it. He says it. Deuteronomy 16, verse 20. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And I will end with just one last one from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, do to others what you would like them to do unto you. As you would like them to be just and fair to you, you too then must be just and fair to them. So the parable does make sense. There will be a reckoning, a judgment. The question for us today, dear friends, is,
on which side will I be? Will I be among those who hear, come, blessed of my Father, take for your possession the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Or will I hear, God forbid, depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels? I pray, my dear friends, as I will hear, and you also will hear, the first one, come, blessed of my Father. Because you see, dear friends, the encouraging thing about all this is that we have a chance to decide which one we want to hear. You and I have a chance to decide which one we want to hear. Because the criteria for hearing one or the other are within our reach. What are they? Being hospitable and kind to our neighbor, having the attitude of the Shepherd King, caring for my brothers and sisters, showing concern for the poor and the needy, consoling those who are weary, binding up the wounds of those who are hurt, giving a listening ear to the disturbed and the traumatized, opening our home and our heart to the one who needs it. Who cannot do that? That is within the reach of every one of us. But we have the choice either to do it or not. And therein lies our own judgment. We pass judgment on ourselves. It's within our reach, but to do it is up to us, up to our heart. How big is my heart to see someone in need and to offer help? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan. How big is my heart to say, yes, you can come to my house. I have 10 already. You make 11. It doesn't matter. Come. There's room. How big is my heart to say, Monday, only a little sardine we have. We have a piece of bread, but come in here. We'll share it. It all depends on how big my heart is. And these, my dear friends, are the criteria for entering the kingdom. It's easy. All we need do is to have a heart. And of course, to be committed to give until it hurts, and to give until there is nothing left to give. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers or sisters, it is to me that you've done it. And that brings me, my dear friends, to the last part of my sharing, which is the kingdom. What kind of kingdom did the Lord come to establish? And what kind of kingdom does he wish to return to the Father in the end? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, he begins with the Beatitudes, extolling the qualities of those who belong to the kingdom, the poor in spirit, those who recognize that their only wealth, true wealth, is God himself, the meek, those who know that humility overcomes pride, those who mourn not only the passing of a friend, but mourning all those injustices and horrors of our day, those who seek justice and work for righteousness, the peacemakers, those persecuted in the cause of right, those who are maligned and treated like the scum of the earth for his name's sake. These are the qualities, he says, of those who will enter the kingdom. And in the preface of today's Eucharistic prayer, the solemnity of Christ, King of the universe, the church says to us that he will give back to the Father a universal kingdom and an eternal kingdom. And this includes seven defining attributes: a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. Truth. Not long ago, we spoke about truth and the fact that it seems that nowadays there are many who think there's no objective truth. Truth is as you make it up. Whatever feels good for you, that's the truth. And you even have people talking about alternative facts. But no. What he calls us to is truth, to be truth. There are many people who lie to each other. But he says, no, if you want to be part of the kingdom I establish is one of truth. And you have to learn to be truthful. Life. We all have heard about the culture of death. I don't remember the statistics, but we have hundreds and thousands of abortions being committed every year. Babies that are being killed who will never see the light of day. In countries where abortion is legal, and of course in countries too, where abortion is not legal, it's still being done. And I gave you my own story about my life and the grace that I feel that my parents loved me enough to carry me so that I can stand here with you today. And you should think the same. Life, he said, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. To life, to give life to others. Holiness, to be holy, to be set apart. And because I am holy, I do not participate in certain activities. I do not associate with certain organizations and practices. I get involved in everything that is good. Grace, to know that the grace of God will lead me on and that I can become a source of grace for others. Justice. We've spoken enough about justice today. To recognize the dignity of each individual, that the law is the same for all of us, for the poor and the rich, for the haves and the have-nots, that there is no distinction along race, religious or political affiliation lines. And then love and peace. Love, God is love. And the only law that He gives to us again is love Him with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. I had the privilege of witnessing a wedding yesterday, and the couple chose one of my favorite readings from 1 Corinthians. I spoke about love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or conceited or rude. Love does not take offense. Love does not delight in other people's downfall, but delights in the truth. And in the end, there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And the last quality is peace. Not merely the absence of war, but promoting harmony, concord, trust, and goodwill. As I conclude then, my dear friends, I ask a favorite question. Who is your king? Is Christ your king? Do you pay him allegiance? And what form does that take? Is it merely lip service? Or are you truly ready to put your line on the life for him, or your life on the line for him? Hurricane Maria taught us many, many lessons. And one of them is that we should worship and serve the right God. Those who worship their property now have to weep because it's gone. Those who worship their houses and homes, they cry because it's gone. There's nothing left for them. And many have lost other things that they found or thought to be very important. Not power, not prestige, but we worship the God Almighty with heart and soul. And we serve Him above all else, as we serve him in our neighbor. I want to conclude, my dear friends, with this story that I received from one of my friends on WhatsApp just last night. I had seen the story before. It's about the pastor who was new to the church. He was just freshly appointed. They didn't know him. So he came, and he was dressed as a paro, as we would say, a street person. And he came to the congregation. They were already assembled. And he asked for a little handout, little alms. Nobody took him on. In fact, some asked him to get out of the church. He came and he sat towards the front. The usher says, no, you can't sit there. Go and sit in the back somewhere. And whoever he tried to speak to would reject him. So the service continued.
And then it was a time to introduce the new pastor. So the person said, and now we want to welcome our pastor. His name is so-and-so. And everybody clapped. And then he, the old man, the paru, walked up from the back. And to their great surprise, he stood there and said, I am the new pastor. And he said to them, I see that we have a lot of people who come to church, but there are very few Christians here. Go home, our service is ended. What a beautiful sermon. What a beautiful sermon. I will not say that of you, but it's something for us to think about. That Christ will come in all manner of disguises, and we have to remember, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me.